Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Holy smokes, just be a second.
Okay, I'm pushing record.
Babe, it's already recording, okay. And I just recorded that. Should we include that in the podcast?
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks and I'm here with my husband again, Jared Sparks. I'm sorry I'm cracking up because he just stubbed his toe, but our children are sleeping and I'm like, I'm sorry, we don't have time for you to stub your toe.
Is that the icebreaker? That I just broke my toe?
This happens so frequently,
I can't
though.
Get any sympathy, folks.
It's because he breaks his toe at least 3 times a year.
It happens. I stub it. I stub my toe. I writhe in pain, and then my wife and children pay no attention to me.
It's not true.
And then Ransom will say, Dad, you're fine.
Well, it's just, it happens so frequently that we're used to it. It's not like you broke your arm.
It
it's
hurts.
Like, oh, he broke your toe again. I'm sorry.
It hurts.
Anyways, let's start
I've got
start
a crooked
episode.
Toe that I almost broke completely in half.
I know.
I got x-rays to prove it.
I know. What is that? Why do some people stub their toe so often?
I don't know. It's probably some sort of psychological,
yeah.
I don't know. It's probably
there's some letters that go with it, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably some sort of psychological disorder that goes with that or something. I don't know.
Anyways, should we edit all of this out?
No, we should
not. Okay. All right, so we're here back with the series that we're doing on action words for women in biblical womanhood. What words describe a woman? Last week we did worship because all the rest of these words stem from the biblical basis of what worship is and who we are as worshipers. And then today, moving on from that, we're going to talk about work. So worship, work, help, submit, fear nothing, and love. These 6 words we believe encompass what it is to be a biblical woman, to follow Christ as a woman. So today, talking about work. So as humans, as Christians, as women, we're all commanded to work. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work as the Lord your God commanded you. And then on 7th day, we're commanded to rest, which is, you know, it's tied in with work. We have to rest to work. We have to work to rest. That this should be intertwined. Elizabeth Elliot says, being a woman doesn't make me a different kind of Christian, but being a Christian makes me a different kind of woman. It's the same kind of thing with work. Being a Christian should make us a different kind of worker.
Right.
That Christians should be totally different in the workplace and in the home as workers, because we work for an eternal glory and we work for an eternal master that we know is worthy of our work, and we work for honoring him.
Work is also very unique because there is a way of work that goes along with life. So when I teach my boys about working, I'm talking about a way of life. 6 days you shall work. Not necessarily work as remuneration, because that is under, you know, for the boys, we're teaching the idea and concept of provision. When we talk about work for a woman, there is a specific kind of work that God has called and commissioned women to. There's going to be some overlap where men and women do this similar kind of works, like good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. There's overlap. There's going to be some things that we do that are very similar, but there is a masculine and feminine bent toward particular kinds of work.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of work that I'm going to do that men are going to do, and some kind of work that women are going to do, and it's fitted to our natures and our bodies.
Right.
We're created in different ways, so we're going to work in different ways.
Yeah. So women, hopefully, are not having to work for a 9-to-5 wage slave type situation, but we work for a heavenly master with eternal riches that we know that we have eternal glory prepared for us, and we also are helpers. So women are helpers. I tell Pravi this all the time. Anytime someone needs help, I'm like, oh, Pravi, you can help with that. You're a helper. Women are helpers. Girls are helpers. And so because we are helpers, we're workers. So we'll dive deeper into helpers when we get to the help week. But because we are helpers, we are workers. And we work not just for ourselves, but we work for the people around us to help them. People who work in a employment type setting, usually a man, usually you're working for a man who doesn't love you and care about you as much as your husband does. So your goal and aim as a Christian woman is going to be a worker and a helper to your husband and to your family, because your husband is a man that loves you. And so you're going to work inside the home, hopefully be a helper to your husband in the work that God has called him to do. And you're going to help in serving your children and your home and working inside of your home.
Feminine work is always going to be home-oriented. That's how God has made women to be and function, is primarily in the context of the home. So even with the concept of helping, most all of the work that women do is going to be in that helping category. When you pair work and help together, which I know we're not blending the two episodes here together, but feminine work is always going to be bent towards the home. God has made the woman to primarily be working in domestic kinds of ways and in ways that help other people. That's why women are not bleeding on the front lines, but they are taking care of those who have been bleeding on the front lines. They're helping, they're taking care of their maternal, they care about people and want, and it's not that men don't care about people, it's just different ways that God has designed us to work. And if people just look at how God has designed, I'm almost 6 foot, you're almost 5 foot.
Hey, I am 5 foot.
Okay, I'm 5 foot 11, 5 foot 10 and a half, and you're 5 foot. I'm 160 pounds, 65 pounds, and if you were wearing a full denim outfit and jumped in a pool, you would get out and barely weigh 100 pounds. So if we do a certain kind of work, we go outside, and if there's a hole to be dug in the ground, the boys automatically know I'm going to be digging the hole because I'm bigger and stronger.
Or like if someone gets a cut in this house, they come to me.
They're going to run to you.
Because I tend to be more nurturing, and God created me to be that way. And I feel that it's my responsibility and my duty to know how to do those kinds of things well. So I have the first aid kit stocked. I know what to do when that kind of thing happens. God created us with designs in our work. We want to cut with the grain. We want to go the way that God has created us and designed us to be in our biology, in our spirits, in our souls. I am a woman in every single way. And because I am a woman, I will work in a way that God has created me to work. And I don't want to cut against the grain and say, no, I can do whatever I want to do. So I'm going to chop the wood. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I physically can chop the wood.
Maybe.
But I mean, I could chop some of the types of wood,
definitely.
You know, not some of the harder types of wood. But why would I do that? Like, why would I, in an act of rebellion against my creator, be like, I want to chop the wood and I can, so I will. Like, I mean, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Like, why cut against the grain? Flow with the way that God has created you.
Where some of the rubber hits the road is also in thinking about work. The woman needs to primarily be thinking about the home, not work outside of the home. So that's for another discussion, but we don't even want to caveat this away, that when the idea of work comes to the mind of a woman, I want you to be thinking what the Bible prescribes you to think, not what the modern woman or what feminism wants you to think. Because when you think of the word work, the feminist wants you to immediately think working outside of the home, whereas the primary work that God has called you to is always going to be inside the home, whether you're single, whether you're married with no children, whether you're married with kids, or whether you're married with your children grown and outside of the house. When you think work for the lady, the primary focus of your work is going to be home-oriented. It's not going to be immediately out there. What we're talking about here is clearly countercultural, but it's biblical. That's what we're wanting you to think through. Is what does this look like for me or for you as a woman biblically?
And the really cool thing about this is a lot of times our work inside the home ends up spilling out into the lives of people around us. Like the best hospitals were started by Christians, and often Christian women. Hospitals, schools, these kinds of things were started by Christians who wanted to have an impact on the culture and had the margins in their life. So if you are already serving your family in a certain way and you have margins, you have extra, you spill that out onto the people outside of your home. It's not that we go out there first and then our home is left with the scraps of what's left over. It's our home is fully flourishing and God gives us excess of either time, energy, or resources, and those things spill out onto the outside world around our home.
Yeah, which is the Proverbs 31 principle. She discovers that what she's making for her family is profitable. And it's got a wide market, not just a regional market, but the market that would have to take her clothing through the Mediterranean Sea and to faraway places. She recognized there was so much value there, but she didn't first start the business. She took care of her household. She took care of her husband's estate. She expanded that estate, and she did everything that she could to work for her household. Then, after everything was in order, after her children were prepared for the winter, after the right time, then she started the business and sent her goods afar. And so I think that's just the order in which things can work, is the home outward.
Yeah, so as women, we don't shy away from work, though. It's not that we want to be caved up in our homes, not doing anything. We're not shying away from work. We want to work wholeheartedly with our hands, with our minds, and with our spirits. We want to be praying and doing that kind of intercessory work for the family, for people around us, for our church. We want to be working in all those kinds of ways. And
Can I say something real quick? Mm-hmm. A quick thought here. Titus 2 calls the woman to be a worker at home, not just to be present at home.
Right.
Because what could be confusing here is thinking, when you're thinking through biblical womanhood, is that the concept is, okay, I just got to be at home. Well, you got to be doing something more than being at home. You want to be productive there. God calls women to be workers at home, mm-hmm. not just to be present in a home. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that your time is fruitful, it's productive, it's bringing it's bringing glory to the family, mm-hmm. and it's doing true work for the glory of God and the good of your family.
So obviously there's lots of work with our hands that we're doing when we're when we're home with cooking and cleaning and caregiving and all those kinds of things, but there should also be mental work that should be done. Like, you should be thinking through how to best take care of your family, how to best help your husband, how to best take care of this situation that arises. Whatever you and your husband, your jobs that you've laid out and agreed upon within your home, you should be doing mental work as well, learning and growing and helping. But also, work is a protection to us. It's not that we're just present at home, but we are working at home, like Jared said. I touched on this a couple weeks ago whenever I talked with Bree on here, but the story of David, whenever it's a springtime, it's a time when the kings go out to battle, and he is supposed to be out to battle, but instead he is at home lazing on the couch. Mm-hmm. And he arises from his couch and takes a walk outside on the roof, and he sees Bathsheba, and that's when the temptation arises, when he should have been doing the work that a king was supposed to be doing during that time. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to let laziness become a snare and temptation to us, because it can happen very easily in the home. It's like a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come upon you like poverty. A robber and want like an armed man. You can easily take this little excuse of time to rest, and sometimes it's not rest that you needed. Sometimes it's being more diligent, mm-hmm. and being more grateful, and putting your hand to the plow is what is needed. Because if you think, oh, it was just too crazy of a day, I just need to rest, you can fall into temptation. And there are things in slothfulness that bring temptation with it.
Yeah. Well, a few years ago, I read a book that changed my complete view and understanding of the household. And it was Man of the House by C.R. Wiley. One of the things that was important for me to understand is that home is not a place of retreat and rest. It is a place of work. Mm-hmm. Certainly there is rest, and we have to model that for our children. But there is this concept, especially for men, they're out there doing battle, they're out there fighting, they're out there doing everything they can to provide for a family. And then when they get home, the idea for a lot of guys is, well, this is my place of rest and retreat. And one of the things that's important for us to understand is that a household has always and historically been an economy that has worked together. And if I come home and rest, rather than seeing a household as a place of work, what I end up modeling for my children is, oh, okay, work happens out there, but what we see of dad is rest. All we see of dad is retreat and refreshment, and that's what dad does when he gets home. He has got to work. In the same way, in a household, a woman has to know that this is a place that good, hard, callous earning work happens.
Yes, and that's why we have the Lord's Day. That's why we work really hard 6 days, and then we Sabbath day rest really hard on the mm-hmm. Sabbath. That we take that as the Lord's wisdom in creating the world in this way, and creating our bodies in this way, creating humanity in this way, that we actually physically need it. We need that 6 days of work, and we need mm-hmm. that seventh day of rest. And then also spiritually, we need to go be with our church family, to worship with them, and then to rest. Mm-hmm. We take it really seriously, and we try to rest on the Lord's Day. Our kids know that. It was so sweet on the Sons and Slaves podcast. They did an episode. Sweet. They're going through
Bob Schultz's book.
Yeah.
Boyhood and Beyond.
Boyhood and Beyond. But anyways, there was an episode on work, and Valor was like, but there is times that we do rest, like on the Lord's Day. And I was mm-hmm. like, that's right, buddy. We do rest on the Lord's Day. And I love that they know that Sunday is a time that we rest, and that's going to look different in every family and every season of life. And alongside that, you can't be like, but how do you just, I just can't as the mother. Like, don't get feeling sorry for yourself about rest. Mm-hmm. Like, all moms are tired. All moms don't get much sleep. That's okay. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself for the amount of little sleep that you're getting, I try to tell women try to focus on supporting your body during that season of getting little sleep. Like, what can you do to help nourish yourself, to give yourself energy? Is it making sure that you're not nutrient deficient, mineral deficient, like things like that, and talking to someone that can help you to make sure that you're taking care of your body the best way possible so that you can make the most of the fuel that you have.
Yeah.
Instead of just feeling sorry for yourself and being like, I can't get enough sleep. Nope, you can't get enough sleep, and you probably won't for probably 10 years. So just settle into it. It's okay. Try to fuel yourself as best as you can, and then just march forward and be thankful for whatever rest that you do get. But rest is going to look different in different seasons of life. So don't feel sorry for yourself is what I'm trying to say. If you don't get to take a 2-hour nap on a Sunday, because that's not what a lot of people's season of life is.
I think it'd be fun for us to maybe talk about sometime the difference between the self-care movement, the self-love movement. And the pendulum swing on that isn't that, no, we should be self-loathing or something like that. It is this weird, twisted thing that's happening right now, happening in our society, where narcissism seems to be the highest virtue. But the opposite of that isn't not taking care of yourself.
Right. The godly, it's not self-care, it's taking care of yourself.
Yeah, taking care of yourself. Because Jesus resurrected bodily.
Yeah.
The physical body matters. The spirit, our spiritual life matters. Mm-hmm. So there has to be some sort of balance where the home is a culture of work, but it is a place where rest happens also. Mm-hmm. It's not a culture of laziness where occasional work happens. Mm-hmm. It's a culture of work where the proper rest happens.
Yeah.
And sometimes finding those rhythms are a little bit different. And I think for ladies, they need to take time, and the husbands need to make sure that they can do this. Husbands should be taking their care of their bodies physically, even if they have to wake up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. to do it. Ladies, and if any husbands are listening in, find a way for your wife to be able to take care of herself physically as well. Because you want your wife to be as healthy as she possibly can, both physically and spiritually.
And I think with work, sometimes that feels overwhelming to people because their body doesn't feel good. It's hard to work if your body doesn't feel good. It's hard to, like, I'm going to crush it for 6 days when you're feeling bad. Like, I've gone through different health things in my life where it was really hard to just do the basic things that I needed to do, and it was difficult. And then other seasons where it's not, and you can do lots of extra stuff. And, you know, obviously there are providences in people's life that can make you able or not able to do certain things. But I would encourage you, if you are bodily not feeling good, reach out and talk to people. Like, don't settle for not feeling well. Like, our bodies are meant to be able to work. So if there's things going on, just encourage you to talk to
somebody.
Somebody.
Get as healthy as you can.
Yeah, get as healthy as you can.
Yep. Yeah, it's important.
So if you are a young single woman and you are kind of curious, like, what does work look like if I don't take the path of a 9-to-5 job? I would encourage you to talk to women in your church that you see doing a good job in their home and say, hey, can I come shadow you? Can I come help out with what you're doing this week? Can I just, like, come and help you prepare some meals or whatever?
Fold laundry.
Yes. There are very few women that are going to say no to that. And I promise you, the experience is going to be so worth it that you will go and just be in a household. Just be in a household and see what it looks like to be a mom, to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And go to one where the wife is godly and that honors her husband. And if you see someone in your church that you feel like is doing that, go and spend some time with them and just get some experience of what it seems like to be in a household.
Yeah.
And I think, sorry
to keep interrupting here, but I think it's important for the ladies listening in. Be the kind of woman, I would say this to men as well, men need to be the kind of men that their sons want to grow up and be like, not that their sons want to grow up and not be like. Women, be the kind of woman that you want your daughter to grow up and be like, not the kind of woman that your daughter grows up and doesn't want to be like. It's very critical.
Yeah. And of course, we all have things that we struggle with. Grow in those areas. Mm-hmm. Repent to the Lord. Repent to your families and move forward trying to change and be the kind of person that you want your daughter to be like. So some questions for you guys to chat about. So daughters, if you're listening with your mother, or if you guys are listening as a group. Okay, so daughters, what are some ways that you can work in the home? What are some ways that you can take on more responsibility now that can be a huge blessing to your family? Can you help out with a baby? Can you start preparing meals on Tuesday? Can Taco Tuesday be your night? Can you take over laundry? can you take over landscaping? How fun would it be if your dad gives you $100 and you get to do landscaping this year? Or whatever. Just what are some ways that you can take on the responsibility of a work in your home that would bless your family? I love thinking about this concept of being faithful with little and God blessing you with more. And what about if you take on something small now and just be really faithful with that and trust the Lord in what he'll give you in the future? And then another question. What are some differences in a man's work and a woman's work? If you were to classify those, what are some examples of each? Some can overlap. How do they overlap? What are different seasons of life that they might overlap? Okay, and then last question. What are some sinful ways that the world has viewed work for women? All right, thank you for listening. Until next time.
I'm going to go ice my toe. Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.